Today's March the 11th. Today, we see Palestine divided up. Today, as you read through the Bible in a year, please finish the book of Numbers reading chapters 33 through 36. In chapter 33, we're given a summary of all of the different places that Israel camped. Now, as we read through the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, it appeared that they were pretty static, that they stayed in one place for quite a long time. That actually isn't the case. We have 42 different camps that are mentioned here in the 42 years that they spent between Egypt and the plains of Moab just before they entered the land of Palestine. Now, they fall into three major areas. There were the camps in Sinai where they were receiving the law. There were camps in the wilderness of Paran, near Kadesh Barnea, where they moved around apparently quite a bit. And then there were the camps in the plains of Moab, a total of 43 different camps. Chapters 34 and 35 detail the boundaries that each tribe is to have after they conquer Palestine, and the Levitical towns that belong to the Levites, split around the different tribes of Israel. Then chapter 36 tells us of the laws for inheritance of a family that has only daughters, so that ancestral lands can stay with that family. Enjoy today as you finish reading the book of Numbers 33 through 36.
This is the route the Israelites followed as they marched out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. At the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. These are the stages of their march identified by the different places where they stopped along the way. They set out from the Sea of Ramses in early spring on the 15th day of the first month, on the morning after the first Passover celebration. The people of Israel left defiantly, in full view of all the Egyptians. Meanwhile, the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn sons, whom the Lord had killed the night before. The Lord had defeated the gods of Egypt that night with great acts of judgment. After leaving Ramses, the Israelites set up camp at Succoth. Then they left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. They left Etham and turned back to Pi-Hahiroth opposite Baal-Zephon and camped near Migdol. They left Pi-Hahiroth and crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness beyond. Then they traveled 3 days into the Etham wilderness and camped at Marah. They left Marah and camped at Elam, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. They left Edom and camped beside the Red Sea. They left the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. They left the wilderness of Sin and camped at Dophkah. They left Dophkah and camped at Alush. They left Alush and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They left Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They left the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kidroth Hataava. They left Kidroth Hataava and camped at Hazeroth. They left Hazeroth and camped at Rithmah. They left Rithmah and camped at Rimmon Perez. They left Rimmon Perez and camped at Libnah. They left Libnah and camped at Rizza. They left Rizza and camped at Kehelatha. They left Kehelatha and camped at Mount Shether. They left Mount Shether and camped at Harada. They left Harada and camped at Mekeloth. They left Mekeloth and camped at Taith. They left Taith and camped at Tara. They left Tara and camped at Mithka. They left Mithka and camped at Hashmona. They left Hashmona and camped at Moseroth. They left Moseroth and camped at Benet-Jakin. They left Benet-Jakin and camped at Hor-Hagaggad. They left Hor-Hagaggad and camped at Joth-Batham. They left Joth-Batha and camped at Abrona. They left Abrona and camped at Ezion-Geber. They left Ezion-Geber and camped at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. They left Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor at the border of Edom. While they were at the foot of Mount Hor, Aaron the priest was directed by the Lord to go up to the mountain, and there he died. This happened in midsummer on the first day of the fifth month of the 14th year after Israel's departure from Egypt. Aaron was 123 years old when he died there on Mount Hor. At that time, the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev in the land of Canaan, heard that the people of Israel were approaching his land. Meanwhile, the Israelites left Mount Hor and camped at Zalmona. Then they left Zalmona and camped at Punon. They left Punon and camped at Oboth. They left Oboth and camped at Ira Abiram on the border of Moab. They left Ira Abiram and camped at Dibon Gad. They left Dibon Gad and camped at Almon Diblathaim. They left Almon Diblathaim and camped in the mountains east of the river near Mount Nebo. They left the mountains east of the river and camped on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Along the Jordan River they camped from Beth Jamosh as far as the meadows of Acacia on the plains of Moab. While they were camped near the Jordan River on the plains of Moab opposite Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all the people living there. You must destroy all their carved and molten images and demolish all their pagan shrines. Take possession of the land and settle in it, because I have given it to you to occupy. You must distribute the land among the clans by sacred lot and in proportion to their size. A large portion of land will be allotted to each of the larger clans, and a smaller portion will be allotted to each of the smaller clans. The decisions of the sacred lot is final. In this way, the proportions of land will be divided among your ancestral tribes. But if you fail to drive out the people who live in the land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you live, and I will do to you what I had planned to do to them."
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give these instructions to the Israelites. When you come into the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as your special possession, these will be the boundaries. The southern portion of your country will extend from the wilderness of Zin along the edge of Edom. The southern boundary will begin on the east at the Dead Sea. It will then run south past Scorpion Pass in the direction of Zin. Its southernmost point will be Kadesh Barnea, from which it will go to Hazar Adar and on to Asmon. From Asmon, the boundary will turn towards the Brook of Egypt and end at the Mediterranean Sea. Your western boundary will be the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. Your northern boundary will begin at the Mediterranean Sea and run east to Mount Hor, then to Lebo Hamath, and on through Zedad and Ziphron to Hazar Enan. This will be your northern boundary. The eastern boundary will start at Hatsa Enan and run south to Shephram, then down to Riblan on the east side of Ain. From there, the boundary will run down along the eastern edge of the Sea of Galilee, and then along the Jordan River to the Dead Sea. These are the boundaries from your land."
Then Moses told the Israelites,
"This territory is the homeland you are to divide among yourselves by sacred lot. The Lord has commanded that the land be divided among the 9.5 remaining tribes, the families of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Have already received their grants of land on the east side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho towards the sunrise." And the Lord said to Moses, "Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun are the men designated to divide the grants of land among the people. Enlist one leader from each tribe to help them with the task. These are the tribes and the names of the leaders:
Judah, Caleb son of Jephunneh; Simeon, Shimuel, son of Amihud; Benjamin, Eladad, son of Kishlin; Dan, Bucky, son of Jogli; Manasseh, son of Joseph; Haniel, son of Ephod; Ephraim, son of Joseph; Kemuel, son of Shiftan; Zebulun, Elzaphan, son of Parnach; Issachar, Patiel, son of Azan; Asher, Ahihud, son of Shalomi; Naphtali, Padahel, son of Amihud.
These are the men the Lord has appointed to divide the grants of land in Canaan among the Israelites. While Israel was camped beside the Jordan on the plains of Moab across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, "Command the people of Israel to give to the Levites from their property certain towns to live in along with the surrounding pasture lands. These towns will be for the Levites to live in, and the surrounding lands will provide pasture for their cattle, flocks, and other livestock. The pasture land assigned to the Levites around these towns will extend 1,500 feet from the town walls in every direction. Measure off 3,000 feet outside the town walls in every direction, east, south, west, north, with the town at the center. This area will serve as the larger pasture land for the towns. Six of the towns you give the Levites will be cities for refuge, where a person who has accidentally killed someone can flee for safety. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all, 48 towns with the surrounding pasture land will be given to the Levites. These towns will come from the property of the people of Israel. The larger tribes will give more towns to the Levites, while the smaller tribes will give fewer. Each tribe will give property in proportion to the size of its land." The Lord said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you cross the Jordan at the land of Canaan, designate cities of refuge to which people can flee if they have killed someone accidentally. These cities will be places of protection from the dead person's relatives who want to avenge the death. The slayer must not be put to death before being tried by the community. Designate six cities of refuge for yourselves, three on the east side of the Jordan River and three on the west in the land of Canaan. These cities are for the protection of Israelites, foreigners living among you, and traveling merchants. Anyone who accidentally kills someone may flee there for safety. But if someone strikes and kills another person with a piece of iron, it is murder, and the murderer must be executed. Or if someone with a stone in his hand strikes and kills another person, it is murder, and the murderer must be put to death. Or if someone strikes and kills another person with a wooden object, it is murder, and the murderer must be put to death. The victim's nearest relative is responsible for putting the murderer to death. When they meet, the avenger must put the murderer to death. So if someone hates another person and waits in ambush, then pushes him or throws something at him, and he dies, it is murder. If someone hates another person and hits him with a fist and he dies, it is murder. In such cases, the avenger must put the murderer to death when they meet. But suppose someone pushes another person without having shown previous hostility, or throws something that unintentionally hits another person, or accidentally drops a huge stone on someone, though they were not enemies, and the person dies. If this should happen, the community must follow these regulations in making a judgment between the slayer and the avenger, and the victim's nearest relative.
The community must protect the slayer from the avenger and must escort the slayer back to live in the city of refuge to which he fled.
There he must remain until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the sacred oil. But if the slayer ever leaves the limits of the city of refuge and the avenger finds him outside the city and kills him, it will not be considered murder. The slayer should have stayed inside the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer may return to his own property. These are legal requirements for you to observe from generation to generation, wherever you may live. All murderers must be put to death, but only if evidence is presented by more than one witness. No one may be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Also, you must never accept a ransom payment for the life of someone judged guilty of murder or subject to execution. Murderers must always be put to death, and never accept a ransom payment from someone who has fled to a city of refuge, allowing a slayer to return to his property before the death of the high priest. This will ensure that the land where you live will not be polluted, for murder pollutes the land. And no sacrifice except the execution of the murderer can purify the land from murder. You must not defile the land where you live, for I live there myself. I am the Lord who lives among the people of Israel. Then the heads of the clans of Gilead, the descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph, came to Moses and the family leaders of Israel with a petition. They said, "Sir, the Lord instructed you to divide the land by sacred lot among the people of Israel. You were told by the Lord to give the grant of land owned by our brother to Zelophehad to his daughters. But if they marry men from another tribe, their grants of land will go with them to the tribe in which they marry. In this way, the total area of our tribal land will be reduced. Then, when the year of Jubilee comes, their proportion of land will be added to that of the new tribe, causing it to be lost forever to our ancestral tribe." So Moses gave the Israelites this command from the Lord: "The claim of the men of the tribe of Joseph is legitimate. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. Let them marry anyone they like, as long as it is within their own ancestral tribe. None of the territorial land may pass from tribe to tribe, for all the land given to each tribe must remain within the tribe to which it was first allotted. The daughters throughout the tribe of Israel who are in line to inherit property must marry within their tribe, so that all the Israelites will keep their ancestral property. No grant of land may pass from one tribe to another. Each tribe of Israel must keep its allotted proportion of land." The daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord commanded Moses. Mahala, Tizra, Hogla, Milcan, and Noah all married cousins on their father's side. They married into the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. Thus, their inheritance of land remained within their ancestral tribe. These are the commands and regulations that the Lord gave the people of Israel through Moses, while they were camped on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River across from Jericho.
Scripture reading from the New Living Translation by Emily Herrera. Like, follow, and subscribe to this devotional on whatever platform you use to listen to it. Email your questions to us at questions@becomehope.com. Tomorrow, we see the second law.